Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlotte Christian Fellowship Blog Talk Radio. My name is John Davis, and my co-host, Brother Booker Alexander, will be on in a minute. I want to welcome everybody to a live broadcast, and I want to make sure you guys understand what live means. Live means that, you know, there's no rehearsal. This is exactly what you get, and we want everybody to feel comfortable, but we're going to open up the mics and stuff, so we want y'all to know if you got background noise or something like that. If you got something to say, unmute yourself. I'm going to turn on the mics. I want you to mute yourselves until you have something to say to share. You know, but if you don't have anything to share yet, please mute yourself. And by doing that, everybody will be able to hear what the other one is saying. So I want to welcome everybody again and to Charlotte Christian Fellowship, the Broad Talk Radio. We did the book of Genesis, and we went through it, but as we began this new next step inside of discipleship, I want everybody to know that that we're going to be covering every subject. As we mentioned last week, we're going to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us in the subject matter, but it's all going to be biblically based. We're going to stick to the script. Booker and myself don't have we're not the answer people, I'm going to tell y'all before. But we know that the Word of God says if two or more of us come together in Jesus' name, that the Holy Spirit will be amongst us. And we do study the Word of God. We meditate on the Word of God. So we're quite sure that if a question comes up, we want to know what would Jesus do. That's the whole thing. And now the steps that we're doing now, what Christ called us to do, is make disciples. And that's the step we're turning into now. We're making disciples. So I want to welcome everybody on board. Booker, are you on yet? He'll be there in a minute, okay? Don't worry about my brother. I want to also remind everybody on Tuesday night, my wife has a live broadcast. It's called Life's Uncertain Journey. And that broadcast is every Tuesday at 7 p.m., okay? And let me see if I can find it right here. You can call in when to participate on that broadcast. Again, the number is 929-477-3427. Again, that's 929-477-3427. And that's a live broadcast also. And it's a daily day. Subject matter also that deals with what's your life doing, you know, what's your journey, that your journey that you're on, you know, that you're not alone, that God has your back, and that our steps are ordered. And so in order for us to know that we're not alone, you need to know that the journey that we have might be uncertain to us, but it's not uncertain to God. So we welcome you all aboard, and we ask everybody to please continue to study the Word, and if you got questions and stuff, please feel free to contact us. For those who are listening, let me say that too. For those who are listening on the airwaves tonight and want to participate, there's two things. Some of y'all are listening on by air, okay? And that means then that if you want to participate, you got to call in, and the number to call in on is 657-383-1624. Let me say that again because I mixed it up a little bit. It's 657-383-1624. And that's the call in to participate. A lot of you guys are already listening online and stuff like that. We know it, we see it online. But God doesn't only talk to Book and I, or my wife and her co-host, Alicia Lockett. God talks to us all. The Word of God says the many parts of the body, and every part belongs to one body, which is Christ. So therefore, he gives gifts unto man, and the gifts are given to man. We ain't supposed to keep it to ourselves. One of the parts of the scripture says that he gave us talents, and the talents we have for advancing God's kingdom. And in one of the stories, he says, well, he gave one man, he gave 10, one he gave 5, one he gave 1. Well, this guy had 10. The talents he had, he went out and he got 10 more. In other words, the Word of God that he had, he went out and shared it, and 10 more people besides who he had wanted to become disciples of God. Okay, and so those talents were used. The one that had 5 talents went out and he had talked to 5 people, And he got five more people from these disciples. But the one man who gave him one, he said, well, Lord, I know that, you know, you're a hard man. He said, so I kept my word. I didn't tell nobody. I kept it to myself. And that's wickedness, y'all. That's wickedness. And so God took that word from him and cast him out and gave that one, the talent he had, to the man who had 10. Then that man used that again and won't go some more disciples. Our job as Christians, as disciples of Christ, is to go and make disciples. And it's not an easy task. The word that the Lord gave me today, I'm going to share with you guys now a little bit of it. And that is, when we walk this walk, I don't know if you guys read the book of Jeremiah, but sometimes it makes you feel like Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and God had gave him this assignment to go and tell the king the truth, that what was going on, and that the Babylonians were coming up to them repent. And the same thing happened today. We have to teach and preach God's word, those who he has called to be his disciples. We are his disciples. We are to preach and teach the word of God. And most times when we're talking to people, not only people that, you know, that we see day to day, but sometimes it's brothers and sisters in high positions, okay, and people of authority. But that's why the Jeremiah type of spirit comes up on us, because then we say, well, man, I'm going to get put out. They're going to like me, my friends and stuff, you know, think I'm prejudiced. Well, let's get into that, because the first thing we talk about in this new discipleship, new beginning, is the family. The family of Christ, okay, making disciples. We want to know everything, what would Jesus do? And so one of the things that I was praying to the Lord, he gave me this morning, he says that this to me. He says, the Bible says this, give our bodies to God because of all he has done for us. That's Romans 12, 1. And let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. Now we know how to worship him, okay? We're talking about truly the way to worship God is to give ourselves as to him as a living sacrifice, as a holy, not just look the words, holy, because he made us holy. So therefore, we can't just do anything we want to do and say we're serving the Lord. We're going to get into that a little bit. How many of us, as parents now, how many of us need God in our lives today and in our family lives? Don't just think about yourself, about our family, our immediate family, like our children who are grown, stuff like that, even our teenage kids growing up, you know, our sisters and brothers who are married that don't live with us. Don't you want God in their lives too? Don't you want to know God? Well, this is what this is about. What parent doesn't want their children to grow up to be, you know, to grow up and go to heaven when they die? You don't want to tell your kid, grow up and go to hell. Let's keep it real. We want our kids to grow up, follow God, and go to heaven when they leave this world. But parents wouldn't want to raise their children to grow up to be a man or a woman. That's two choices. That's not three. It's two. And we go out to Genesis, find out what God said he created man and woman. So what parent wouldn't want their children to grow up to be a man and woman, and really a man and woman of God? Okay? What parent, I mean, you know, wouldn't want their children to know the Lord, you know, to actually serve the Lord? Well, let me tell y'all this. Today, some people don't. Some people do not want their children to grow up to be man or women, because it's called Austin's lifestyle, okay? And they don't believe in the man and woman. They believe in Austin's sexual relations, that were a man and a woman and a woman. And a lot of the churches today, the word, you know, is going forth like that. And matter of fact, if you look at the times, we used to have prayer in churches. Well, now they've stopped prayers in church. I mean, not church, they're in prayers in school. Just stop that, okay? And since the time this prayer in school has left, there's a lot of things as a trickle-down effect. These people who believe in same-sex marriage, you know, in same-sex relationships, have taking it to law, where they took it to the Supreme Court, where they actually made it a law in the United States. Well, you can have same-sex marriage. Now, God said that marriage is between a man and a woman. But man has come against the word of God and made a law in the United States that says you can have same-sex marriage. That's Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what actually Sodom and Gomorrah was. They had same-sex marriage openly, and that's what's going on in the United States. And now this is what really gets you. The law says this is the law of the land. The same as a man can be married to man and woman to woman, and that God can't touch him. Now, where does that come from? The law now trumps the word of God. That's why, like when I said at the beginning, sometimes it makes me feel like Jeremiah, because Jeremiah went to the law, which is the king, and said, y'all are worshiping other gods. What y'all are doing is wrong. Y'all idol worshiping. God's a jealous God. And that's what happened. So as when you read the book of Jeremiah, you find that Jeremiah got to beat down many, many, many times. But the Lord also said to him, they will war against you, but they won't win. They won't beat you. And that's what's going to go down now. The diseases are coming. They're here, wars and rumors of wars, because we've turned from God. In the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it says there's only be a remnant. The remnant of the people was going to come, going to be saved. Why? In the Old Testament, Abraham had so many descendants you couldn't count them. The stars in the sky, they said he had that many. The sand on the beach, that many drops, you couldn't count them. But the remnant of that is going to go into the kingdom of God. And likewise, that we're just talking about Jews there, but now we're talking about everybody, because not just one body, no more just Jew and Greek, but now both of us are able to enter into the kingdom of God. So I want y'all to know that today's what's going on is nothing new under the sun. So when they talk about this has never happened before, yes, it has. But now it's actually came to the forefront where God now has been challenged by man again. I see my brother Booker's online. Welcome aboard, brother Book.
Amen. Amen. Finally got through.
Amen. Amen. I'm just doing a little introduction stuff and join in a minute, okay?
All right.
Okay. God created human beings in his own image. He created them. He created a man and a woman. He said a man and a woman to be married, and he blessed that relationship. God blessed the marriage of a man and a woman. And then he said this, be fruitful and multiply. So let's put it in perspective. Man cannot have a baby. Man can't have a baby. He can make a baby, but he can't have a baby. A woman can't make a baby. She can have a baby. So you have to have both of them together. But this new teaching, this same-sex relationship, has tried to find a way around that. They call it adoption. Now, adoption is good between a man and a woman. Okay, when a parent, man and woman adopted children, that's good adoption. But you have something else going on. You have an adoption today that's going on where you have same-sex marriage adopting children. And what happens is they adopt the children, and then they put their lifestyles upon those kids, those defenseless kids, because they're in the household. And the kids have no defense. So they grow up confused. They grow up deceived. They grow up thinking that it's okay for men to be with men and women to be with women, because they have no other alternative but to obey the adoptive parents. Now, in some of the churches inside the world, you have this new gospel being preached that it's okay. Well, ministry, I'm not talking about any special denomination. I'm saying to you, because the law has accepted it, the churches have accepted it. And because the church, some of the churches have accepted it. And because they have accepted the law of the land rather than the word of God. That's the same thing back in the day with Jeremiah. It also happened in the days with Paul and Peter, because they were saying the same thing. Jesus told them inside the church, he said, look, y'all are whitewashed up outside, but y'all parts ain't right. And that's the same thing going on now. I don't care what type of clothes we have on and what status in this world we have and what power and authority. If we're not following the word of God, one day the word said God tells us that he's going to judge our lives, every secret part of our life, every thought, everything is judged. God's going to judge today. So we think we get away with people because people say, well, you know, they don't believe in God. It doesn't make a difference whether they believe him or not. He's real. God is real. And what God's word says, it's going to happen. So on what version you read in the Bible, it all comes up the same way. In the end days, God's going to separate the sheep from the goat. He's going to separate those who believe in Christ versus those who don't believe in Christ. Those who believe in Christ and live their life right now, you know, as they're living, pressing towards that mark, they're going to be saved. But they're going to have some that are not going to be saved. And I don't care, we can't get them into heaven. I don't care if you preach to them or teach them. We have to accept Christ for ourselves, okay? And that's what the word of God says. Let me find it with somebody. Okay, the Bible says God abandoned men and women who turn against the natural way of having sex. That is Romans 1:26-28. Let me say it again. The Bible says it, not John Davis or Booker, okay? The Bible says God abandoned men and women who turned against the natural way of having sex. They have willingly chosen to disobey God and gave up the normal way of relationship between a man and a woman, which he created and he blessed. So God said this, any man and woman who does these things, these shameful things, he calls them, are sinning, and they will suffer within themselves the penalty they deserve. That's the word of God I'm giving y'all. Since they think it's foolish to acknowledge God, he has abandoned them to their own foolish thinking and let them do the things that should not never be done. God said we should direct our children. We should correct our children. We should teach our children. We should pray with our children. And we should do this now before they grow up. For when they do grow up, they'll have a relationship with God for themselves. We have to introduce them now. Don't wait. When a child's able to say, Mama, Daddy, even before then, because God said this to Jeremiah, I knew it before you were formed in your mother's womb. So we ain't got to do the Google God stuff to our children. Just talk to them about the word of God. God loves you. Start that way. Don't start that Google God. That's the stuff that's from foolishness. The foolishness. God says, if he created us in his image, then believe me that the Holy Spirit in us is in the baby too, and we're supposed to develop it and grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. That's what we're supposed to do. Worldly people don't realize that our bodies are the temple of God and that his Holy Spirit lives in us. I'll say it again, y'all. Worldly people don't understand that. That we are the body. Our bodies are the temple of God, and his Holy Spirit lives in us. Inside the Bible says the soul that sinneth will die. It doesn't say the spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. We'll be turned to God. But our bodies and stuff, we'll get a new body. Okay? The war is about our soul. Will our soul, you know, will we conquer our fleshly ways, our emotional status, and I'm going to get you back, sucker type thing? Or will we humble ourselves and turn to God, ask for forgiveness, and forgive others? But he knows, let me say this to you again, but God knows God knows also how to remove his Holy Spirit. In other words, God gives us his Holy Spirit, but don't think he won't remove his Holy Spirit. You say, John, that's kind of crazy, ain't it, Johnny? Because God don't take back things. Well, let's go back to the Old Testament. Saul was anointed by God to be the first leader, the first king of Israel. God said in the Bible, he removed his spirit and gave Saul an evil spirit. Okay, so God will remove his fear. Don't think that he won't. I'm not going to make a, what's it called, what people like to say, make it a sermon over the one incident, because this, you can look at the Bible, God moved his fear from the Israelites after they came out of Egypt and rebelled against him. Okay, and they, and everybody died who was over 20 years old. That's not the only time it happened. And the same thing when they went to Babylonia. Okay, with Babylon. He moved his spirit. So what happened to Babylon is conquered them. So it's nothing that God, don't think, don't put God in a box. Don't think that God won't. Because God loves us enough. He'll put us in the bondage. And that's what's going on today, y'all. Because we want to humble ourselves. It's a disease all over the world. God wants us to humble ourselves so we can realize that he is God, recognize him as God, give him the honor and glory as God, but he can go ahead and heal our land. We need to get back to the true God and who he is, for God can heal the land. We can go ahead and become a living, holy sacrifice to him that he has created us to be, and that people will see us and want to know God because of how we're living. And they'll see God in us, and we in us in God. Whether people believe it or not doesn't make a difference. I want y'all to know that. Whether people believe it's gospel or not, it doesn't make a difference. Because it's true. It's true anyway. And God will destroy anybody. He says God will destroy anybody who destroys his holy temple. And the Bible says we are his holy temple. So stop deceiving ourselves. If we think we are wise in this world's standards, we need to become fools to be truly wise. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. He traps those in this, these worldly people in the snare of their own cleverness. The Lord knows the thoughts of the worldly people, and he knows he knows their thoughts of worthlessness. In other words, whatever they're thinking is worthless. It's not going to mature to anything. It's foolishness. Okay? It is a sin to know the truth, y'all, and not do it. Again, this is James 4:14, it says, through 17. It says, it is a sin to know what we ought to do and then not do it. Brothers and sisters, repent of our sins, turn to God, because the kingdom of God is near. So when we see these things going on, don't point our finger at them, that the people doing immoral things. Because, you know, Brother Wolf, come on, we're going to talk about discipleship. But we're going out in discipleship training, getting into, like, the word of God says, it cuts down to the narrow of the bone. This word that we have, that God has given us, it gets all in your business. It gets down to the soul. So even your dreams and your thoughts and stuff, we don't know them, but God knows. And God says he knows the heart of man. If we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. But, this is a big but if we claim we have not sinned or we don't sin, we call God a liar and shows that his word has no place in our hearts. God loves us. Put our trust in his love. Not in all us, not in our lives, okay? All of us who love the Lord, okay, God lives in us and we live in him. And as we live in God, we grow more and more perfect in him. So we shouldn't be afraid of the day of judgment, because our sins have been forgiven if we confess them to God. So we can face him with confidence, because we live like Jesus here on earth. But that's what we're supposed to do now. See, don't wait later on and hope that we can say, well, I'll change in 5 minutes. No, no, no. Live means it's an action that you're going, you're pressing towards that mark now. That Brother Book will get into that a little bit deeper in a second. So don't be surprised when the Bible says to us that we must be born again. Everybody, this is serious stuff we're doing. We are subject to God's anger, just like everyone else, if we do not obey God. God gave us grace and mercy because he loved us. Even though we were dead because of our sins, God gave us life when he raised Jesus from the dead. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved. Brother Booker, pray us in and let the Holy Spirit lead you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name, Lord God. We thank you for this allotted time that you have given to us for this Charlotte Christian Fellowship broadcast radio, Lord God. Father, I thank you so very much for my brother, my sister, John, and Nadine Davis, Lord God. I pray that you would continue to just press upon their heart and prosper them in all areas of their lives, Lord God. I pray that you would continue to keep them healthy, keep them strong, Lord God. Keep your word in them. Keep them pure, Lord God. May they continue to be a blessing unto the kingdom of your holy kingdom, Lord God. And may that they continue to just strive to be their best and be obedient in your word. Father, I thank you for them, for their families, for their generations to come. Lord, may what they have already planted, the seeds that they have planted, I pray that you will continue to water and it will grow and it will prosper in Jesus' name. For every listener that's listening here tonight, Lord God, I ask that you receive us, bless us right where we are, Lord. I pray that your word will minister to us, will grow us, Lord God, will convict us to change and allow the Holy Spirit to be responsive in our lives, Lord God, that we will heed to its calling, that we will be obedient to your word. We ask you for forgiveness of our sins, that we have sinned against you, Lord God, as well as sinning against our loved ones, Father. Father God, I
yes.
thank you for this time that you have given us. You have devoted your life to us, Lord God, out of unconditional love. For you have loved us first, for you have separated us, Lord God, and I thank you for that. Lord, thank you for being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord God, for what you have predestined, not man, not imagination, but nothing on this earth can erase that, Lord God. What you have set in motion, what you have ordained on this planet, Lord God, it shall come forth. Nothing
yes.
or no one can change that. I pray that we will humble ourselves before you, Lord God, and receive all that you have for us. Father God, it's you that calls us righteousness. Man can't call himself righteous. Man can't make himself righteous. Man can't put on a suit. Man can't paint his face and become a saint. Only we can have Amen. Sanctification through you, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as you be with us tonight, Lord God, I pray that we prepare ourselves to receive everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, the Bible says in James 1:5, he says, the Bible says, if we need wisdom, ask the Father, and he will give it to us, and it won't be useful for asking. And in John 15:26, Jesus says, he will send us an advocate, the Holy Spirit. And the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach us everything about him, will testify everything about him. So, when people ask us, this is what to get into, when people ask us, what would Jesus do? Brothers and sisters, we're going to learn what to say. Brother Booker, please let the Holy Spirit lead you.
Amen. Thanks, brother. What you have sent out today, brother, really not only encourage, but it's in line with, you know, what we are studying, what we have been studying, and becoming one of Jesus' disciples. And what does that mean? You ask that question. And I know through my study and what the Holy Spirit has placed upon my heart is this. We have to decide what type of disciple that we're going to be. Because when we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus handpicked his disciples. And when he handpicked his disciples, you and I talked about this a little earlier.
Yes.
I do not see an account. I have not read anywhere in Scripture where Jesus went to each one that he picked to be his disciples and asked them, are they willing to be his disciples? Are they willing to follow him and be led by him and taught by him? He didn't ask him that. And when he picked those disciples, I do not recall, and I have not read in Scripture, to where when he went to that disciple and told him to come follow him, that that disciple had to go home and check first with his wife, had to check with his family, gave Jesus some, you know, excuses, but wait a minute, let me go home and make sure that my house is in order. Let me let my family know that I'm going to be gone for some period of time, that I'm going to follow Jesus and be led and taught by Jesus. I have not seen that nowhere in Scripture. Jesus picked his disciples, knew of them, told them about themselves, was instructed for them to come follow him. There are no programs. Today we have programs on discipleship. And I know we must understand what the Word of God says and what it means to be a disciple. But the programs that has been put in place by pastors and apostles and leadership team members and that sort of thing is first we go through this process of checking off the boxes. Once we have checked off these boxes, at the end of the process and the programs, we are now deemed to be disciples. I find that to be unclear, untruth, and I don't believe that's the word of, that's really the word of God and what Jesus intends. Now, I do understand that we have been called to be messengers of the gospel. But being disciples, I recall that it was John the Baptist and the Pharisees had questioned Jesus and his disciples because it was their custom that they would that the disciples would fast, and they asked Jesus the question, why is it that your disciples do not fast like the rest of us? And that had given me insight that there are different types of discipleship. Because here it is, Jesus gave them the answer to the point that, in other words, my disciples do not need to fast, but there will come a time when I am no longer with them that they will fast. But because I am with them, the anointed and the appointed one from God the Father, they don't need to fast because Jesus is with them. And so many times, like many other things, we get into customs and we get into rituals of things and we do things out of what man's agenda becomes. And here it is where Jesus has set the stage on what discipleship is. So I believe that we must understand what it means to be a disciple and what it means for us. I was reading the other day from Charles Stanley, and he says that, you know, there's a goal to a Christian life, which God expresses this way. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of the Son, which is Romans 8:29. This refining process is called sanctification. And there are several identifiable stages en route to this goal, but sadly most believers are unfamiliar with them. So it says, let me offer some definitions so you can identify where you are on the journey and understand what to expect. Salvation is the first stage of the Christian life. This describes our redemption from sinfulness through Jesus' atoning sacrifice. What results is forgiveness of sin, which lets us to have a relationship with Almighty God. And that's the first thing. You and I cannot become a disciple of Christ or disciple of anywhere in the gospel, I believe, without having this, having the atoning sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say, God gives us opportunity to serve in Ephesians 2:10. We were created to do good works in Jesus' name, but at some point, we notice something isn't working. This is the start to stage 3. Frustrated inadequacy. This unpleasant but necessary part of the journey can last varying amounts of time. Without it, we'd undoubtedly experience self-sufficiency and pride, but we should recognize this difficult phase as beautiful because it leads us into the best part of our spiritual lives. That is total dependency upon Jesus as Lord of our lives. And this is how I see the disciples that Jesus went out and handpicked. Yes, they had to learn some things. They knew some things. They knew of Jesus. They knew some scriptures. But being led and taught by Christ Jesus, they had to give of themselves completely without excuses, without any hindrance. And I see this, that they gave total dependency upon Jesus as Lord of their lives. And I believe as a disciple of Christ, this is what you and I have to do. In order to do that, we must have the understanding of what it is and what it means to give of ourselves totally. We can't give part of ourselves. It's, you know, the word tells us that we can't serve two masters. And it's hard to serve with total givenness to Christ and still trying to serve other things in our household and so forth. I know we said, well, there has to be a balance in life. But in order to be in a sense sold out to Christ, we have to not only deny ourselves, but we have to deny the ones that we truly love to pick up that cross, to follow Christ. And that actually led me to read 1 John. Starting with verse 2, the need to know. And if you have your Bibles, if you would go there with me, and I'm actually reading from the Amplified Version.
And you say 1 John
again,
what?
I'm going, yes, go to 1 John 2.
Uh-huh.
We're going to start with verse 1. This is what we have to know. Christ is our advocate. And as we know, when Christ left us another advocate, which is the Holy Spirit. But reading from verse 1, it says this. My little children, believers, dear ones, I'm writing you these things so that you will not sin and violate God's law. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate who will intercede for us with the Father. And who is that? Jesus Christ, the righteous, the upright, the just one who conforms to the Father's will in every way, purpose, and action. We must understand who our advocate is. It's Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he, that same Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice that holds back the wrath of God that would otherwise be directed at us because of our sinful nature, our worldliness, our lifestyle, and not for ours alone, but also for the sins of all believers throughout the whole world. And this is how we know daily, by experience, that we have come to know him, to understand him, and be more deeply acquainted with him, if we habitually keep focused on his precepts and obey his commandments, his teachings. Verse 4 says, whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not habitually keep focused on his precepts and obey his commandments, his teachings, is a liar, and the truth of the divine word is not in him. But whoever habitually keeps his word and obeys his precepts and treasures his message in its entirety, in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. It is completed and has reached maturity. Now, I love how the word says this in verse 4, because it says, I have come to know him, right, but does not habitually keep focused on his precepts and obey his commandments and his teaching. That points me to the point that to do things habitually is a practice. It's a practice of things. Yes, you and I have a sinful nature. We are prone to sin, but the more of God that is deposited down in us, we begin to get understanding. We begin to be obedient to his word, want to do good works because of what his word does inside of us. And when we slip up and fall because of the sinful nature, God doesn't hold it against us because we're not habitually keep doing the same old thing. And this is what it is saying. So it says, by this we know for certain that we are in him. Whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, ought as a moral obligation to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conducted. Verse 7, beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the message which you have heard before from us. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true and realized in Christ and in you, because the darkness of moral blindness is clearing away, and the true light, the revelation of God in Christ, is already shining. The one who says he is in the light, in consistent fellowship with Christ, and yet habitually hates work against his brother in Christ, is in darkness until now. No one who loves and unselfishly seeks the best for his believing brother lives in the light. And in him there is no occasion for stumbling or offense. He does not hurt the cause of Christ or lead others to sin. And even when I read this and what's going on right now, we understand that it's important that you exercise your right to vote. But we have, Satan, I believe, has used this political arena against brothers and sisters of Christ.
Amen.
Because we tend to put a political party before the love of another brother or the love of another sister. If we are a Democrat, we go against the Republican. If we're Republican, we're going against the Democrat. And we are making decisive and taking decisive measures and pointing out, if you ain't a Democrat, if you ain't a Republican, you're not, you know, you're not a Christian, you're not this, you're not that. But this is just what the word is saying right here. How is it? How can we love God who we do not see, but love our brother who we do see, but because they are affiliated by being a political involvement with a Democrat or Republican, we're totally against them. And we consider ourselves Christians. This can't be. It can't be. If anything, this should convict us. Put God first and foremost. And put that political party stuff on the back burner, because we're also going to learn that as a Christian, 1 John 2, starting with verse 15 says, do not love the world. Yet we give so much emphasis on this world and the things that's in this world.
Yep.
And I would like to take us there right now so we will have this understanding that it's nothing new. It's been taught, you know, as we have read through Genesis, finding out who God is and whom the God that we serve. But we have been warned here, starting with verse 15, it says, do not love the world, a sin that opposes God and his precepts, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust, the sensual craving of the flesh, and the lust and the longing of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, pretentious confidence in one's resources, or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world. So even when we are wanting to become disciples of Christ and follow God's example to live for Jesus, we must understand that you and I cannot love the things of the world. Because what we do, we push for God. We can't do that. We must learn to put God before everything. Everything. Verse 17 says, the world is passing away, and with its lust, the shameful pursuits and ungodly longings, but the one who does the will of God and carries out his purposes lives forever. Children, it is the last hour, the end of this age. And just as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, one who will oppose Christ and intend to replace him, even now many Antichrist false teachers have appeared, which confirms our belief that it is the last hour. They went out from us, seeming at first to be Christians, but they were not really of us, because they were not truly born again and spiritually transformed. For if they had been of us, they would have remained us. But they went out teaching false doctrine. Brother John has been talking about this false doctrine. So that it would be clearly shown that none of them are of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. You have been set apart, specifically gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because he teaches us, illuminates our minds, and guards us from error. Joseph, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie, nothing false, no deception is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ, Messiah, the anointed? This is the Antichrist, the enemy and antagonistic of Christ, the one who denies and consistently refuses to acknowledge the Father and the Son. Whoever denies and repudiates the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses and acknowledges the Son as his Father also. As for you, let that remain in you, keeping in your hearts that message of salvation, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, you too will remain in the Son and the Father forever. Listen.
Amen.
It is clear on our path, on the direction that we must go, for you and I to be in Christ Jesus. We must not give in to this world. I know the world is beautifully, God made it that way, but God is telling you and I do not love the things of this world.
Amen,
because
brother.
The world is going to pass away. And you and I are not to be here because we have eternal life. Eternal life. So I hope that this brings some clarity for us in the direction that we must go. I hope that this brings some enlightenment to us so we know where we are now. And we know that in order to not only become disciples of Christ, but followers of Christ, to bring forth the gospel of Christ, where we need to head, where we need to be. I know for myself, personally, right? And I understand how the flesh is. We are born with a sinful nature. And I know we're going to slip up from time to time. But that's only to convict us to get back on the right track.
Amen.
God doesn't toss us away because we make a mistake, because we stand here and there. If we stay focused on Christ and know what our end goal is, I truly believe that you and I will be okay. Because Christ is yours and mine. He's our advocate. And now that he's on the right hand with God the Father, he give us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is acting on Christ's behalf as our advocate, our teacher. He's our nurturer. He's our truth. He goes on behalf of you and I. To Christ Jesus, because of the faith that you and I operate in, because of Christ Jesus, his grace and his mercy is sufficient in all things. In all things.
Amen. Amen. Before you go, I want everybody to anybody would like to say anything or comment before we shut down. I know this word's been powerful. The first one, this is the new beginning where we get into, you know, discipleship. But anybody make a comment or would like to make a comment, anything? I hope this enlightens everyone to be read word to you, not what we think, not what we somebody else told us. We actually read word. And so when someone asks you, what would Jesus do, that's what we're giving you. You have the answer now. We could actually point it out scripture, the idea, point it out scripture. You can read it for yourself. And something else, Booker says that's very critical. He said what version he was reading it. There are many versions. I like the Amplified. I like the New Living Translation. I like the New King James. I like the New Living Translation. Please read it until you get the O. You got to get that O. That O means I understand. Oh, I got it now. That's what you want to get. Don't go beyond that until you get that. Because what good is the word when you can understand what you're reading? That's what the devil, he knows the word, but he doesn't do the word. We don't want to be like that. And also when people ask us something, we want to be explaining. You don't have to pick up a Bible. It should be a living word. The word should grow in you. You become the wise and, you know, flowing and knowing who you are in Christ and Christ living in you. So we thank everybody for this time. And, you know, it's been a beautiful evening, a brand new beginning. God has been good to us. And I just thank him so much for this opportunity he's doing for letting us know what a disciple is and letting us know that the gospel, the true gospel. And we got to learn the true gospel, because the gospel, these false gospels, they're going to come out more and more. They're going to come out more and more, y'all. Okay? So I'm telling you in advance, the Bible always says these things are going to happen, and they're here. They are here. And it's going to sound like the gospel, but it is not the gospel. If the person can confess that Jesus was raised, you know, born as a man, was God, and was born and raised as a man, and then died and raised, God raised him from the dead, you know, that is the initial beginning. The devil knows that, but does he confess it? No. And so also you got to watch out for those who are praying for you. Everybody should pray for you. Jesus stopped a lot of people from understanding who he was. So we're going to get y'all that understanding too. But before we go, I want Brother Booker to pray us out, everybody. And I love everybody. But Brother Booker, pray us out.
Amen. Thanks, brother. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. I pray that your word will penetrate our soul. Your word, Lord God, divides the soul and the spirit, Lord God. Power. That's authority of your word, Lord. I pray that your word will bring us a newness about us, Lord God, will develop in us to seek you even more, Lord, to put you first amongst everything, Lord God. Though that we are with this wickedness that dwells among us, Lord God, through your word, through the anointing of Jesus Christ, we can benefit from it, Lord God. Father, I pray for every listener that's listening here tonight, that your word would meet us right where we are, that your word would convict us, your word will change us, Lord God, from the inside out, to become more like Christ, Lord God. So the lives that we live, the lives that we lead, the lives that we share, we will be sharing you, Lord God, not that of us, and be boastful of what we can do, but what you do through us and what you allow us to do, Lord God, because of your love for us. Father, I thank you for this broadcast tonight. I pray that if it's your will, that we will meet again next week, Lord God. Until then, I pray blessings on every listener. I pray blessings on my brother John and my sister Nadine, Lord God. And I pray the anointing of your holy word will go throughout this entire world, throughout this entire broadcast, and do what it's directed to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, everybody. Lord, I hope everybody stick with us and get ready to know what Jesus would do. That was a claim before, a little slang thing, but no, that was true. The devil used it as a fad, but I'm going to tell you something. The Bible wants us to do what Jesus did. That's what we need to know. That's what we're teaching today. And until God takes us off the air, what would Jesus do? We love everybody and make disciples. God bless. Talk to you next time, everybody.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.